given. So I did a little bit of an introduction. You know, so I said that this is the most controversial topic ever discussed among Christians. You know, I was talking to myself. I said, I find it very difficult to lead people to the Lord because nobody wants to go to hell. But when you bring this topic, everybody has something to say. And I said, in the beginning of every year, most churches, pretty much all the churches, they have their theme, correct? So we have this theme as fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So most themes are prosperity, year of healing, year of jubilee, you name it. Year of all what God has given us, all those promises. So we designate that year to talk about them. But I just said to myself, I said, nobody has come up with the theme, year of giving. Maybe we should consider that. I say here that giving comes in many forms, but the most important one is tithing, because tithing is a biblical mandate. You know the way that he said we should go and make the disciples? Yes, it's a mandate. So you know in the financial world, right? We talk about save, spend, and give. I say here that most times we focus on spending and saving and forget the part that talks about giving. So this is going to be very interactive, like I said, but we're going to stick with the scriptures. So if you have any question as I go through this, please hold the scripture that will back you up, because everything I'm going to say about tithing, I'm going to back myself up with the scripture. You know, I said I once asked a friend of mine, I don't know whether you've had any discussion about tithing, but there's always a heated argument. And when she gave me this topic, I was like, whoa. November, it was a topic that we went to a conference and all the doctors were discussing it. And then after my mom's wake, my in-laws were in my house discussing, and it was about tithing. So I said, maybe God wanted us to talk more about it. So I was asked a friend of mine when she was arguing about tithing, and I asked her, I said, this brand new Mercedes that you bought, did you argue with yourself or your husband before you bought it? She said, no. I said, why then are you arguing with what God gave you, the money he gave you that you used to buy that Mercedes? Why are you arguing with giving him 10%? And of course, she didn't have any answer. You know, so what I said is, you know, it's very easy when there's a topic for us to meditate. We want to meditate on healing, every other thing. But when it comes to tithing, we argue. So we're going to talk about tithing from different angle. I'll do the Bible passages. I'll talk about what tithing is and what tithing is not. And I compiled a whole list of questions that are common. And I did actually ask somebody that asked me questions to give me two. So she sent me two. So I'm going to read those two. So I have each heading. If we don't finish it, I'll probably ask the pastors whether we can send it to the health fellowship, because we don't have many people here. So I decided that we're going to do a little exercise. So after the end of that exercise, we'll now have an idea of what our questions and answers will look like. So if you can, everybody, please blow into, inhale and exhale and blow into your palm. Can we all do that? Right? Good. Now let's pinch our nose. Pinch your nose real hard and your mouth and try to breathe and time yourself. Let's see the person that will be the longest, maybe. Why some people are removing their fingers already? So that says it all, right? So what do I want us to look at? Breath. We have less than 5 minutes to hold our breath, right? And none of us can stand it. But think about the God that gave us this breath. You know, we leave the minute, the little things, and we hold on to money, which is the bigger part of our problem. So now he said, I gave you this breath that none of us can stay without for 5 minutes, right? He gave us the health. He gave us the strength. And he said he gave us the ability, the talent to make this money. So this money is actually the end product of what God gave us. So now remove this breath and see whether this money will be there. Do we think we're going to have this money if we're not breathing? So we really need somebody to beg us to give God that little aspect of it when he has given us this much. So that was the little exercise. So before we ask our questions, please realize that those people that died yesterday, they're not going to have any discussion about tithing because the money is gone. So, Afam, I'm so sorry I didn't give you the Bible passages because I was running late. But I'm going to bring out the Bible passages, and I'll just quickly go over them. So if you can, please write them down so that we can all, discuss them or read them later on. But before I continue, I made a little note here. I said for most of us that are working, the federal government, they withhold anything up to 40%, right? And how many of us has fought Uncle Sam? We don't fight them. So it's the norm. We work, Uncle Sam takes half of the money and gives us what is left. All right, sorry about that. So I said, we don't have a problem giving. I mean, really, we don't have a choice because they take it from us. And they give us the remnant. And we still live with it. We don't complain. We work so hard, all the sleepless nights, and somebody actually took the money before giving us 60% or whatever your bracket is. And we don't complain. But here, God gave you 100%. It's not that you worked for it. He gave it to you. But he said, just give me a fraction, and we're still having problem. I just want to introduce all these little things that we forget so that when we get to the big ones where we want to justify what we are doing and how we're doing it, we just think back to all these things. So I have the Bible passages. I have both Old and New Testament because most of us, when we want to justify our religious righteousness or the spiritual aspect, we quote New Testament or Old Testament, depending on the one that suits what we want to do. So I just want to bring it up today that tithing is mentioned both in the Old and the New Testament. And some of us, we say we should leave the law of Moses. That's not what the scripture said. It says it's obsolete. But tithing started before the law was given. So either way we want to look at it, we are obligated to pay tithe. So I start from Genesis 28, 20 to 22. I like everybody to write them down because I'm just going to be paraphrasing. There's so many things to cover. So he said, then Jacob made this vow. If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God, and this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives. We're talking about before the law. So that brings me to what is tithing? So if we go to Leviticus 27:30, NLT, it says there, one-tenth of the product of the land, whether grain from the field or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set aside to him as holy. There's a must there. It didn't say should or may. So it must be. Then what is tithe? Tithe is derived from Hebrew word, meser, which means tenth part. Under the Old Testament law, the Israelites were required to give one-tenth of everything they produced from the land to God. So now that we know that tithe is tenth of everything, tenth, which is what the Hebrew word means, so let's not take it to another percentage, because that's what tithe is. So if you go to Genesis 14:20, so we see that this date is dated as far back as Abraham, who gave Melchizedek, king of Salem, and the priest of the Most High, one-tenth of the spoils of the war. I'm still trying to bring out the fact that tithing is part of us. Why? Because we are Abraham's children by faith, right? I mean, everybody agrees with me, right? So, Abraham has our forefathers. Abraham's blessings are mine. He paid tithe, so we should be able to pay tithe as well, right? Because we can't pick and choose. We can't pick the blessings part and leave the tithe part, because everything he did, we're supposed to do. That's what it means, right? To follow in the footsteps of your parents, right? So as a spiritual father, we're supposed to pay tithe because he did. Now let's go to Numbers 18:21. It says here, as for the tribe of Levi, your relatives, I will compensate them for their service in the tabernacle. Instead of an allotment of land, I will give them the tithe from the entire land of Israel. I put here in bracket, let's talk about Math 101. You know, some people are saying 10%, I'll give it to the pastor. That's a lot. So now let's maybe explain math. Maybe God didn't really understand math that well. We have 12 tribes of, you know, Israelites, right? They have 12 tribes, right? So God now says 11 tribes should give 10% to one tribe. What does that mean? It's going to be 110%, correct? Am I doing the math well? So the other people that are supposed to contribute, they will have 90%, right? So when you come to math, it's 1 to ratio 11, right? And then when you look at the priesthood, the Levites, I don't think they have that many children, because you know they're like specific set of people, right? So I'm assuming their number probably was less than the number of other tribes, right? So they're going to get 110%, and they're probably less in number. Maybe God made a mistake when he said they should give them the 10th. God should have said, oh, you know, they were just few people. You shouldn't give them. But he specifically said 10th of your 100%. So because that belongs to him, because he has already told them what to do with it. So now when we want to rationalize why we should give 10%, it's too much. The pastor have it. All these people, they have it. Then we have to take ourselves back and do the math for God. So let's continue. Then if you go to Numbers 18:23-24. Now, if you want to talk about everything about tithing, please read Numbers 18 through. It will give you a whole lot of what we're looking for. It says, when God established the Levitical law, so it is a law, the tithe became a legal obligation. It was a practical and necessary means to support the Levites, who are the priests. So when God divided those promised land, he allowed only the other people to take them, except the Levites. And without land, the Levites had no means to support themselves. So instead of land, God gave them their own inheritance based on the tithes that were brought. And then if you go to verse 26 and 28, when people said, why are we paying 10%? It says there 10%. So because I want us to take into consideration the little forces that spoil this vine, those justifications that make these things very difficult for us. So he gave those instructions, and he said that the tithe is separate. They should keep it aside for him. And in turn, the scripture says that the Levites were to pay a tithe from that tithe. So it's called tithe of tithe. So you see, they're supposed to feed from that tithe, right, that they were given, and they were supposed to pay their tithe from there. So now when you deprive them of their 10%, you did not only starve them, but you're depriving them of giving their own 10%. You see how we put ourselves into trouble? So this is what God said. They are supposed to pay a tenth of that tithe. So it's called tithe of tithe. Those things are all in the scriptures. If you go to Nehemiah 10:38, it still said it's a tenth. The reason why I brought out all these verses is to tell us that it's a tenth. It didn't say what we feel like, seventh. Once you don't give the tenth, you didn't do what he asked you to do. Now, it comes to the question, some people say, oh, well, this is Old Testament and it's obsolete. Like I already said, yes, it started before the law was given. It started with our father Abraham. So whenever we sing that song, Abraham's blessings are ours, please let's put that the title too. We should be doing. So I want us to write down Hebrews 7. If you read Hebrews 7, now we're talking about the New Testament to tell us that it's not an Old Testament concept. I just brought out the verses that really talked about it, but I'll just summarize. So verses 5 to 10, 14, 15, 17, 18, 20, 21. I'll probably send this to the House Fellowship. It talked about tithing, you know, how, you know, in the Old Testament, the Levites are the priests, right? And then how God kind of equated Melchizedek to Jesus Christ. So Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek and even says that even the Levites that were not born, right, because they were seed of Abraham, they indirectly paid that tithe. The Bible said it. So now that we have even established, we're not talking about us in the womb, we've now established that as Abraham's children, Melchizedek, the scripture said, was a priest forever, and Christ is the priest forever. So indirectly, Abraham paid tithe to Jesus. So we should do the same. So let's go back to Old Testament and New Testament for those of us that love Old Testament when it pleases them. So I just summarized that one. And so we'll go back to New Testament, Matthew 23:23, where Christ, you know, the religious leaders, they were quoting, we tithe even the minutest of everything, our oil, our soap, our everything. And he said, yes, it's good to tithe. But you see, you guys are boasting about your tithe, and you refuse, you kind of neglected the real thing. Justice, mercy, all those things. So yes, we should be tithing, but our motive is so very important. And Christ talked about tithing there. So I'm still bringing both Old Testament and New Testament so that we don't say it's a New Testament concept. I now go to common questions asked. So I'm going to be asking these questions, and if you've had them before, probably you have an answer, but if yours is included, I'll just give my little answer and then we can all go through the answers. So these are the common questions asked. I went to online to get some of them. And most of the friends that have argued, I called them. I said, okay, I need those your questions. So one says, God knows my salary is not enough to pay my bills. And of course, the list goes on, right? Another one said, the pastors use it to enrich themselves. They buy big houses, vacation, luxury cars, private jets. I don't know whether we've had these questions before or am I making them up? Have we had it before? Okay, good. So I'm not making them up. Another person said, this one I just copied it the same way she sent it to me. I just copied and I pasted it. She said, I attend a very huge Baptist church with about 3,000 worshipers every Sunday. I believe in advancing the kingdom of God by giving financially. I also attend weekday fellowship sometimes when I'm off. I'm off duty in another small Bible-based church. I prefer to pay my tithe to the smaller church because I feel they need the financial assistance more than the bigger church, which is actually my main church. My question is this. Is it okay to continue paying tithe to the small growing fellowship or to still pay to the big church that I feel are very established and really don't need my assistant? I don't know whether you have an answer, but my answer here is the instruction, and that's what I sent to her. The instruction is to pay your tithe. It is not to judge the pastors and the mega churches. What God is looking for here is our obedience and not our justified self-righteous disobedience. We say God is all-knowing, right? Omniscient, omnipresent, all those things. So God knows what the pastors are doing, right? So how come we're the one that will tell God what those people are doing? Or he said, pay the tithe. So God sees them. They're not hiding. So God sees them. So I'm not going to be the one to be, we're the jurors. God is the judge. So we are trying to be the judge and the jurors. It's not God's problem. So we don't have to tell God what he needs to do. Right? All we need to do is to obey. Now, God knows I don't have enough to pay my bills. What I said there, God knows what we need and what we have. He's aware of our bills, our children's tuition, but all he's looking for is our heart. God knows you have this much. What he wants, he's looking for is, are you going to trust me? Are you going to do what I ask you to do? You know, so it's our ability to trust, honor, and obey and rely on him that he's looking for. That's my answer there. So I don't know if you have your answer. We'll talk about that later. And then I gave an example. We talked about the widow's mite. We know about the widow's mite, correct? Do we all know about that? Yeah. So I want to put it to God knows I don't have enough to pay my bills. But you have, but not enough. But the scripture is telling us here that that was her last coin. So you're not talking about your last. You're talking about the one you have, but not enough. So, but the scripture is telling us about her last one. Now let's compare in our hearts. What is it? What the scripture said here that Jesus saw a moving display of the proper attitude towards money. So her last coin dignified, carries more dignity than the contribution other people were making, grumbling and everything. So I don't know if are not having enough to pay our bills, can we compare with her last coin? So this lady, she understood that her source, and that was why she could comfortably give the last. And the attitude is, money is not going to control me. I know who gave it to me. So if money controls you, you have the right to bring all these excuses and see your problem. But there, I'm sure she has bills, but she gave the last one. So what's her attitude? What's her motive? So, like I said, who am I to report the pastors to God? So our wisdom, God said, is foolishness to him. We are so wise in our eyes. We are seeing their cars. We are not seeing our own. Most of us, we are changing cars more than these pastors. So what made them not to enjoy it when the Levites were giving 110%? So let's stick with our 90% and stop judging people. Thank God I can say this because I'm not a pastor. So, and you know, when people talk mega church, did all these churches started as mega church? They started like small churches, right? Before they became a mega church, am I right? Or the mega church just fell from above. It didn't, right? For something to be mega, that means somebody has put everything to it, correct? Did we see what happened when they were doing it? Some of them, their family was broken. They used whatever they have. Some sold whatever they have. the sacrifices, they left their comfort. If they ask us now to leave New Jersey and go to Rwanda, we say no. They left everything. None of us saw those things, and God saw it. So when God rewards you, why is it that somebody is complaining? You know, Joyce Meyer, you know, one day she was saying something about it. She said, if people will understand where she was coming from, that she made burger out of everything. You know Joyce Meyer, right? I like her because she's like my sister. She talks like me. She said she made everything out of burger. She slapped it, she fried it, she roasted it, and that's what they ate. But now, when you look at Joyce Meyer, you don't want to give her, right? You say she's a mega church, but she started from 2-3 people. She even said her friends abandoned her. The church, everybody abandoned her. But you see God's reward. Why can't we just be faithful and let God reward us instead of running after people's faithfulness, what God has rewarded them for? So those mega churches, I don't envy them. They went through a lot. Do you guys know what the children of these pastors go through? Go and read it. Go and Google and see how they are bullied. They don't even live normal life because people are expecting them to do so much, not to be children. They can't be like children. They play. People condemn them. They do everything. They can't fry their hair. They can't do what other people are doing. They're suffering. So let's leave these mega things, because mega things started from a small thing and is the reward of faithfulness. Please, they can carry me in their own jet. I don't mind. So the next question is, where should I give my tithe? We're supposed to give our tithe to the local church where we feed, right? Where we worship. And they're used by the pastors and the ministry staff to maintain the work of church and the community. You see, when we give this tithe, we always think that they take it. No. The scripture already stated the things they are supposed to use it for. If somebody doesn't want to use it for that purpose, it's not my business. My own is obey. Take my own blessing and go my own way. If you don't want to use it, why should I be rubbing shoulder with you? Let me do my own and go my own way. That's what obedience is. Now, the second question my friends sent to me. I have a strong passion to assist and help people financially by his grace. Yes, by his grace. Even when I have little or nothing left. That's our self-justification, right? These people include relatives, friends, and those I don't even know. Religious leaders. I told my friend, I gave her all these words. Is it wrong to use your tithe? Now, church, is it wrong to use your tithe to solve a very pressing and serious problem for someone who obviously needs help, like immediately life-saving surgery? I'm asking because I would rather choose to pay for this person's surgery than pay my tithe to the huge church. We should focus, this is her writing, we should focus on both Old and New Testament. So this brings me to this scripture. This was the scripture she quoted. Luke 14:5 that says, which of you, having a son on an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull it out? I believe at this time, you really have to evaluate and check circumstances before you make your judgment. She said, just my humble thoughts. So now let's look at what is wrong about this. She's already told us what she's doing. So she's giving us her resume, correct? And she said that this problem is really pressing. And of course, she gave us the quote. And this was my answer. And then she said again, another one said, I don't give 10%, but whatever I feel like, depending on what is happening this month. Besides, I give to people that need it or to the church I believe need it. Have the need. Have we had those questions before? So this is what I said to my friend. I sent it to her. I said, my friend, the dangers of misquoting the scripture to suit our religious mind, and this is our problem. It says here, if you're going to pay your tithe based on what your percentage based on what is going to happen that month, correct? So what I said to her is, the devil will make sure that he gives you enough problem that your 100% will not solve. I don't know whether I'm right there. But God said to pay in Malachi, I will rebuke the devourer. So now he's not going to rebuke him. You've already invited him. Your problem will be more than 100%. I told my friend. Secondly, whether we want to accept it or not, that pressing issue that you're looking at, if God has asked you to take care of it, he didn't ask you to use his 10%. He wants you to use your own 90% because he said he's going to bless your own 90%. Why are you going to God's 10% anyway? If you want to take something, you take from a greater number, isn't it? Your own is 90. Why are you going to God's 10%? And if it's a problem, and for all I know, the God I serve, if he gives you an assignment, he's going to provide for you. And for all I know, if that assignment, after you finish going, if it grieves you, or if it brings problems or heartache, it's not from God. Because when he gives you the assignment, he'll give you what you will use, but what he says you're going to derive out of it will be joy. So if that thing you did, no matter how serious or pressing it is, if it didn't give you fulfillment or joy, check whether you took it on your own. So that's what I said to my friend. He said he will bless the 90%, good measure, right? Shaking. We like those shaking, good measure, full, overflowing. He says your own 90%, not his 10%. His 10% is already sacred. But if you go and use his 10%, what is he going to bless your 90% for? You're looking for trouble for that 90%. I'm just making these things to be real and natural to all of us. Like I said, thank God, they don't talk about tithe, so they gave me the mic. I'll talk about it. Pastor doesn't like to talk about it. And I said to her, I said, you know, ordinary people with this mentality, they will never give to these people in need, even their 100%. Do you agree with me? If there's nothing like tithe or 10%, people will just carry their 100% and be walking around. They couldn't care less. But because God said tithe, they now remember there's somebody in need. Why? Do we see our own mentality and we think we are smart? We can't outsmart God. We just want to mock God, but he cannot be mocked. And then I brought out an example in the scripture. They said, oh, this person is in their need. Now let's talk about the Zarephath woman. Do we know about that Bible story? The woman that said to Elijah that what I have is a small powder and oil, right? That when I bake cake or bread, whatever the scripture said it is, I will do what? Go take my child, cuddle him, and will die, right? So is this need we're talking about more than that woman's need? Now let's look at what the scripture said. Elijah, let's say Pastor, whatever, Pastor A. Elijah went to the woman and said, okay, no problem. You know what? Just bake for me first. Hey, what are we going to do in this real world? Huh? We're going to leave the firewood, everything, run to our neighbor. Combo, I told you about these pastors. And we're going to cast this pastor out. Huh? This man of God, instead of you to give me, you now said I should make for you first. Do we see? If she was rationalizing it that way, would she have done it? What did she do? She obeyed. And what happened? There was excess. So why I'm bringing out all these little things is we can't be comparing all these excuses to these people, but they did all these things. They obeyed. But we're looking for faith. And faith becomes a big spiritual thing. But God is looking for our heart, little things. Sometimes the faith we are looking for could just be solved by our obedience. We don't even need to pray about certain things. He said, give him 10% of what I gave you. And you want to hold it. But you want to fast and pray about faith and about prosperity. How does that work? They don't work together. So, stopping when I'm telling. Another question is, you see, I'm wondering, what if my situation changes? I don't know whether you guys hear about this one. Some of these questions, I got them online, and I started asking people, so I wasn't making them up. Is it okay to pause my tithing during tough financial times? I'm sure everybody you can hold those answers. Another person, I'm not affiliated with the church. Should I still give? Is 10% of my income before or after taxes? We've established that it's gross because the scripture said it there. Your first of every crop. So we're going by the scripture. And there was another person, but he's talking about crops and cattle and goats. The same scripture. Go back to Numbers, read it. God knows our heart. That's why he addresses us before we even say those things. It says there that if your house of worship is far, sell those things. It's in the scripture. So go to Numbers 18. So whether we want to quantify it as cow or cattle, but now we earn income. So we shouldn't be thinking of crops and goats and all those things that they said was the scripture. So, do you increase your tithe when you make more money? I don't know how to answer that one. It's 10% of that increase now, isn't it? You're not stuck at one place. My answer here, I don't know whether you guys have another answer. Maybe, I said, well, when you say, is it okay to pause when there's tough financial time? I checked the scripture. There wasn't any place it said you should pause on your tithing, or if you don't tithe, you're going to hell. There's no place. So if you have an answer, it says tough financial time. It didn't say if you don't have any job. So I don't know how to answer that one. But maybe some people here, you have an answer. So, and I went to Malachi 3:8-11. We like to quote that Malachi, right? Especially when we want to condemn somebody. But what is telling us there, if you go to 6, is that even when God asked them to give this one-tenth to the Levites, people were not doing like what we're doing, right? So what happened, it led to them not being able to have enough and not being able to give to the poor. And because of that, because we have to read it to see where that quote is coming from, God now said he was going to curse them. But he now turned around and said, okay, why don't you guys even give this 10% that is your problem? And try me. And see whether I will not do A, B, C, D. So that when we are quoting it, we should know where that is coming from. When we don't give our 10%, there's going to be a problem. Those people that are receiving it, Sister Carol will probably have to ask from help from another country. Because these are the things they use it for. You know, so that is where Malachi came in from. Because I don't want to quote that Malachi. We quote it so much, but we need to know where it's coming from. It's their refusal to. It's our refusal to that will do this. And that's why we should, when we refuse, we can quote it. Because God is now saying, okay, now try me and see whether I will not do this. And somebody said, you know why it says windows of heaven? Because you have more windows than doors in a house. I don't know whether that's true. So when we quote the scripture, I like us to really go back and find out how they came about so that we don't quote it to suit ourselves. Okay. So I said here that... No, let me keep reading the questions so I don't lose track. Somebody said, do I donate 10% of my income before? We already talked about that. And the person said, what about the money I make from other things? Have you heard of that question before? It's your income. If you make it from sweeping the floor, you've added to your salary, isn't it? However it come, you know, you made that money, as long as it has added to your income, yes, it is part of it. It's not that one the government, you know, your employer gives you. Anything that you do to generate that money, because he didn't tell them the crops, if it is harvesting in January or February, he said everything. So that's my answer there. So we've talked about the increase. I'm just going through the question so that we can have time. And I said, yeah, I don't know whether anybody agrees with me, that the most important thing is whether you're giving tithe offering, yes, and it should come from the heart. I said that it is is an important part of any financial planning, and it's really the most fun you can have with your money. That's what I wrote. That's what I know. I don't know about another person. Another question is, why is it that people have such a hard time with giving back a fraction of what God gave to them? Why? I said, yeah, lack of knowledge of who God is. And if you don't know who somebody is, you're going to hold tight onto what the person gave you. Like Pastor said the other time, a man gave a child a bag of fries and picked up one, and the child complained. If that child really, even though it's a little child's mind, had an idea that my daddy can always bring more, he's not going to ask the dad why, right? So if we know who God is, really, it's his own. I don't know why you're going to hide something from somebody, the owner. It just doesn't make any sense, does it? I said lack of confidence in God. I'll just put the whole thing down. I said self-centeredness. When we believe that we don't owe God, or after all, I'm not the only one in that church. I just put that one because I'm sure that's how we look at it. After all, I'm not the only one there, Jerry. Now, you know, when I was writing it and I wrote this point, it now brought me to AGM meeting. You know, we have this AGM meeting every January, and we all sat down here asking questions, pouring questions and everything. And they're telling us how the money is coming in and how the money is going out, right? And this is transparency. Have we even asked ourselves, the money that they're spending is more than what we're bringing? Have we even asked ourselves, how do we increase it? Where do they get that money? If we're actually asking ourselves, what do they do with the money? At least this church, they tell us what they do with it. But what they're spending is more than what we're bringing in. Once it's summer, the whole place is hot. The air condition goes up. Bills increases. So the way the bills increasing in our homes is the way it increases here. Have we talked about that? That's a food for thought. So I said, what are the relevance of paying tithes? We already talked about the relevance because they use it for the church bills, missions, everything. Even in welfare, thank God last year, Pastor campaigned for us so much that we had enough money. When we don't have enough, the church still gives us for the CCC program. So we've answered why we should pay tithe. Now there's one thing I want us to understand. What's the difference between tithe and offering? The reason why I kind of stayed within the scriptures for tithing is I don't want us to get confused. Tithing and offering, there are two different things. Tithing, giving, offering, they're different. That's why I did not bring in any scripture on giving. So we don't hold on to giving and leave the tithing. Tithing is our 10%, period. Offering is you giving more, whatever else you want to give. If you want to give Sister Carol, if you want to give me, we are going to do CCC, whatever. If you want to give another 80%, that is addition. But the 10% is the one God said, give it to me, it is holy. So we don't mix up these things. They're different things entirely. You cannot substitute tithing and offering. You cannot. It's nowhere in the scripture. So, I didn't want to use the topic. I was going to say, do we rob God? I said, let me put that before it wastes his happiness has come. So we've talked about the importance of tithing. The first thing, of course, we are honoring God. Anything that we do that will not honor God, we might as well forget it, even if it's 1,000,000%. So we're honoring God. And tithe, when we tithe, it's for our own benefits. It's not for God's benefit. How is it going to benefit you if you have $100 and you give somebody $100? What's your benefit there? It's the person that receives it, isn't it? So he gave us the money. It's for our own benefit. It's not for him. Okay? We just want to tell ourselves that he's our source and all sufficiency. And really, when we tithe, it loosens our hold, our grip on money. You know? Because one thing people talk about, financial freedom. I was telling somebody, I said there's not financial freedom. The only freedom, you can't tell me that when you have $1,000,000, you have financial freedom. No, you have more problem. Because you're attached, what you've, you know, linked to. There's no freedom, isn't it? You didn't take the $1,000,000 and you give it out. Freedom means I'm free, right? If you have $1,000,000 and you're thinking about it, you don't have any freedom. You're even in bondage. Financial freedom is your ability to let go completely and trust God. That means you're free. He's the one doing it. As long as you're holding it, it's just like a leech. You're not free. So it's not freedom. Okay? And of course, I was saying God gave us first. God, I think Christ is 100%, right? So he didn't withdraw, he didn't even keep a little bit of Christ and say, just pierce his this and live here. They broke him all over. So if he gave us 100%, I don't see why we cannot give him. And one thing I know is tithing, it makes you happy, really. When you give, I don't know. Have you ever given somebody something and you look at the person's face and the person is really happy? How do you feel? Man, you're almost like laughing, smiling. I used to look at my mom, I'm like, what's wrong with her? People are eating, she's looking at them, she's happy. I'm like, what's wrong? But that's what it makes you. When people are happy, you're happy. When you've done something, it's more fulfilling than that your $1,000,000 that you kind of, you know, locked yourself with. So, they are doing this. So, so we're going to... It's going to be very interactive now. They've told me to do like this. We still have time for questions and answers, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Because your questions, your answers. Oh, I've been asking questions, right? How much? I don't have any more left. I was asking the ones I know and the ones people ask me. I went online to research some of these questions. So what's our take? What's our contribution? Please use the scripture. Please, I don't want the way I feel, the way we do it. Please use the scripture so we can talk, because this is Bible believing church.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Which pastor?
I didn't say that one though. I didn't say that the pastor said the tithe belongs to him. I didn't say that one.
They will say
now. We're going by the scripture. That's why we should stick with the scripture. No, that's why I want us to stick with the scripture. Another person. Please stick with the scripture, please. If it's the one I can't answer, we'll wait for Pastor Dorothy. Hallelujah. Motives. We trust in the income that we make, but our trust is on God. Mm-hmm. Because our income can leave, our finances, our wealth can leave at any moment. You know, they can make means of this life, you know, but our trust, we always put our trust in God. That's why, you know, when we look at the scripture that says, God says to try it. You know, the only time that he says try it, you know. Because people, when you make wealth or you're making your income, there's this temptation, this tendency to put your trust in that thing. And then lastly, when you look in Acts chapter 4, it talks about how everyone sold of their properties, gave the proceeds to the apostles. And it was the apostles that distributed to the people that was needed. And as a result, nobody left. So it is if we're giving tithe, our mindset should not be, okay, as I give the money, the proceeds to the apostle, I give the proceeds to our church, that what will the church do with it? Oh, are they using it correctly? That's not the focus. The focus is giving by faith, giving cheerfully, believing that God is the one that supplies.
Go to the Bible. This problem of giving and tithe has been a problem for a very long time in the Bible. When I read the book of Nehemiah, if you read it, we see that there was a problem there. Like Levi, those who are supposed to be giving this money and this gift, tithe and their offering, when you let them, somebody came to the church and cleared everything. The book of Nehemiah. That was when those who were in charge decided to have treasure. I can read it to you.
You came late, that's why. Because yes. I read it. And you came late.
To have treasure, to have all these people in charge. Yeah. You have those who are responsible in charge of offering and planting and giving. It's not going to be a problem. But when somebody claims to be in charge of the money or offering or anything that you give, when we have a problem. And even everybody in this church, they have their own mind. I don't know how many people give
I want us to stick with the scripture. That's why I said, yeah, I'm so sorry. We read that scripture. So what people are doing, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying for us to move away from what people are doing, what I feel. I want us to just tell ourselves that this is what God said. So it is going to be our choice to do it or not to do it. Like Onyeka said, there is no spiritual multivite, nothing else. Or it is an individual race. Let's run this race. If you actually understood that your tithe is this, you go with it. Leave the other person. So we will stick with ourselves and not with what another person is doing. I should. He says, at the time. Okay, they're telling me that it's over. Right? So I'm going to send this to the House Fellowship because I wanted us to know what tithing is and what tithing is not. So I'll ask pastors if it is okay for us to send it to House Fellowship because a lot of people came late. So there are a lot of confusions so that we can look at those scriptures. Thank you guys so much. I hope I didn't ruin anybody's day.